Good Monday. Today is July the 21st, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to start off this morning with a conversation with Dave Ellis. He's a district manager with GSI, talking about the importance of maintaining grain quality with on-farm storage, some of the different management practices and technology available. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Joining me today is Dave Ellis. He is a GSI district manager in Western Ohio. Dave, thanks so much for your time today. We want to talk about an important topic, and that is maintaining grain quality for stored grain, especially this time of the year as we see the temperature swings, a lot of humidity that is in the air, and we all know that, grain quality is important, especially when it comes to where the final destination is of that product. And you've got some different thoughts, I think, that between opportunities with technology and just general best management practices to help farmers in that endeavor. So I know a lot of folks say that the grain is at its highest quality. Once it goes in the bin, you're never going to really improve it from there. So what are some things farmers need to be thinking about right when they bring that grain in from the field?
They need to make sure that the grain going in is good and clean so you can get a good amount of airflow through that grain to maintain that moisture. And with the temperature now in July raising, you want to try to keep that grain within 10 degrees of ambient temperature to make sure there's no issues going on inside the bin, no crusting, anything like that. We also offer the grain view system nowadays, which is moisture cables and temperature cables, which will monitor the grain for you all from your phone. You can, instead of climbing up the bin every week to check it, you can use that to make sure everything's going, staying in condition for delivery purposes. Also has CO2 monitoring as well.
Interesting. Talk a little bit more about that, the technology behind it, and just the convenience that brings and maybe peace of mind to guys that have grain on storage still.
Technology is with the cable that is digital cable nowadays that has temperature sensors every 3 or 4 feet and a moisture cable as well that will monitor the grain. And we have a dashboard. You can look at all your bins, a 3D view, and it'll show you if you have any increases in temperature over time or moisture. We offer automated fan controls that will turn the fans off and on for you, given the humidity and the temperature of the outside to keep that grain within conditioning. We also have, you can also use it for inventory purposes as well, because you can see where the grain is and where the grain isn't. So you'll know exactly how full your bin actually is. You get a rough idea how many bushels you have left in there.
Good stuff. And obviously all things that go a long way into helping take some of the burden out of maintaining that grain quality, as there's so many other things that are going on throughout the growing season, not having to worry about going out and climbing the bin, like you said, on a regular basis and physically checking it, although you do still want to peek in every now and again and see what it looks like. But knowing you've literally got that in your back pocket and your phone, being able to monitor the quality of that grain, definitely peace of mind for farmers.
That is correct. It is a new tool that is available to them that is becoming very popular and helps maintain and just rest assured that everything's going well inside of there. And we also offer CO2 monitoring now in addition to the fan controls that will, any type of spoilage, it'll release the CO2, and then that will alarm you to what's going on in there. So if you need to move grain out, you can, or run fans if you don't have the automated control.
Neat technologies available. If folks want to learn more, is there a website or a good way for them to get more information?
Yes, go to www.grainsystems.com.
All right. My guest again today is Dave Ellis. He's district manager with GSI for Western Ohio. Dave, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, talk fertilizer prices, as average retail prices for most fertilizers continued to be slightly higher during the second week of July, that according to DTN. Now, no fertilizer saw a substantial price move in either direction. Six fertilizers were slightly higher in price from a month ago. DAP had an average price of $810 a ton, while MAP came in at $847 a ton for a nationwide average. Potash was at $481 a ton, urea at $658 a ton, 1034-0 was $672 a ton, and UAN-32 came in at $501 per ton. Now, two fertilizers were slightly lower in price than they were a month ago, those being anhydrous ammonia with an average price of $769 a ton, and UAN-28, which was $417 a ton. So if we break these all down on a price per pound unit nitrogen basis, the average urea price was 72 cents a pound unit nitrogen, anhydrous was 47 cents a pound, UAN-28 was 75 cents a pound unit nitrogen, and UAN-32 came in at 78 cents per pound unit nitrogen. Now, seven fertilizers are higher in price compared to where they were a year ago at this time. MAP is up by 3%, 1034-0 is 5% more expensive, DAP is up 7%, while anhydrous is 11% more expensive, UAN-28 is 23% higher, while UAN-32 is 30% more expensive, and urea up 32% from a year ago. Now, looking large, Brazil potash has endured a non-binding agreement. Looking at the larger industry, Brazil Potash has entered a non-binding agreement with Victor Energia for $200 million in funding for its potash mining project in Brazil, that according to Dow Jones. The mineral exploration and development company said in a release the funding covers the project's power transmission construction cost. In the agreement, Victor Energia will undertake development, permitting, construction, and operation of the power transmission infrastructure to supply 300 megawatts per year for the project, according to Brazil Potash. Ownership of the power lines and its substation will be transferred to Brazil Potash after 25 years of operation. The power transmission infrastructure is expected to be completed and operational by July of 2029, according to the company. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.